2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Toad into DFS pros.
Welcome back to DFS Army's NFL podcast, Geeks Vegas Lines for FanDuel and DraftKings, where Kevin and Chapadong discuss the more relevant plays for this week's NFL slate. Kevin is the founder and CEO of DFS Army and also ranked in both MMA and NFL on RotoGrinders for you DFSers out there. And I am Chapadong, the notorious smallaballa and every man. My niche seems to be providing off-color humor at the wrong times to throw Kevin off his game. Generally, when I'm in the Army, I'm keeping people grounded from bankroll management and fundamentals of construction concepts, but you'll find that out as we go along. We all go by the same names in the Army and out on Twitter. Kevin's handle is at FFootballGeek, and I am at Chapadong. Feel free to give us a follow. And, of course, don't forget about the website DFS Army, at DFS Army Twitter handle for news, notes, current free rolls, and promotions. Speaking of which, Kevin, it seems like we got blown up pretty good last week as a whole. I heard a lot of people tilting and complaining. You know, these weeks happen when, you know, what, Deshaun Kizer and B-Third were two of your top five quarterbacks, and then some of the big dog running backs didn't do crap. I mean, it's just kind of one of those weeks that kind of catches us all. How did you fare? We haven't talked much about results this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that you say that, and it's kind of funny. One of the things I've noticed in DFS is, you know, the tilt, right? You all of a sudden you got a couple players in your lineups and it's not going well. And you last week you played Fournette in a good spot or something, and he's blowing up and everybody's tilting. Or Bilal Powell, who everybody owned, and oh my God, it's all over. But the reality was, last week was just a low scoring week. It wasn't unique to any one thing. The chalk didn't work out, but if you played in cash games like we preach, I will say my cash lineup cashed everywhere, and I was all in on Powell, and I had Fournette in it. It didn't hurt me, and the reason is Powell was 80% owned in cash games, free square. Doesn't hurt you if he does bad. You know, I put the free square Selleck in my tight end spot. He got you 17 points. Good to go. And last week, the reality was, you had Le'Veon Bell in there for a 16 or 17, not that great. But the reality was, the middling wide receivers that we pointed out as the best plays, Robert Woods, Marquise Lee, Robbie Anderson, I'm trying to remember all the names. They were all between 5 and 6,000. There was probably two others. Juju Smith-Schuster, there was one or two others, but they all did well. And having those guys and a Selleck in the lineup, plus who was the chalk quarterback last week? Could have been Stafford, and getting onto Tate and avoiding MJJ like we talked about on the pod, and I put in my notes about how MJJ was in a bad matchup and you wanted to go with Tate. So all of that worked, and in the end, my cash lines did great. I didn't do very much in tournaments, although shockingly not as bad as you would think, considering I had complete exposure to Bilal Powell. And in the end, it was actually a profitable week for me, so I'm pretty excited to get out of that kind of chalk explosion week without too much damage. And it's just really a testament to playing good fundamental bankroll management, playing your cash plays in your cash lineups. Because like I said, when you have a free square and he blows up, it feels really bad until you see that the guy's 70, 80% on, and it didn't even hurt you. So it only hurts you when you don't play that guy. But when you do,
I wish I could say I survived like you did. I didn't completely brick off, but I probably got back about 40% of what I put out there, which was okay. You know, and in weeks like that, hell, those weeks happen, man. What are you going to do?
Yeah, and by the way, you know, in that sense, You're good if you're winning, you know, if your cash line makes the cash games. You know, if you hit 60-65% of the time, you know, you're pretty good in cash. So, you know, that means once every 2 or 3 weeks, it's probably going to blow up in your face. Yeah, I mean, well, that's just how daily fantasy sports works.
That's anybody that knows me knows how much I preach bankroll management, and a large portion of playing cash is to keep yourself intact, so you keep your bankroll up there as an overall total so that you can keep swinging the big stick week after week with, you know, so my $100 that I might play drops to $80 this week. Whoa, big deal. That's not going to kill anybody. It's when you put all 100 in play again, and now it drops to where you can only play 25 next. Now you screwed up. So, no, these weeks happen. They bounce back. They back and forth, and we're ready for a good one, right?
Absolutely, and I'm actually pretty excited about this week's slate, so I'm ready to jump right in.
Sounds good. Let's start with Thursday night. We've got we're going to start with a good one. Tennessee headed into Pittsburgh, 44-point total. Pittsburgh, 7-point favorites. To me, it feels like a fade. The game is nowhere near juicy enough to have me want enough demand on these players to feel like I have to survive if I play a few. So I can fade this one comfortably and move right the hell on. I'm sure you've got a couple things you'll mention about it, though.
Yeah, but not a whole lot. Realistically, it remains a Thursday game. And, you know, teams just don't have a lot of time to game plan between, you know, Sunday and Thursday. So they tend to go a little more vanilla with their attacks, I would say. The most interesting play in this game is Le'Veon Bell. Mm-hmm. And again, I just think, you know, he's coming off a couple of down weeks. Really, Bell has not been spectacular this year at all. He's getting all the touches, but he just hasn't gotten those big splash plays, those big runs, or those big touchdown runs, or as often as he had in the past. But I think, you know, it's a bounce back spot for Bell. So if you're playing the slate, down with him. I also think they'll lean on the run just because they don't have a full week to game plan, and I think that's a pretty easy way to attack a team like Tennessee. That's not, they don't stand out defensively against any particular thing, so you might as well.
How much of Bell do you think is dependent on Roethlisberger not having a great year?
I think the whole offense, when it's not in sync, it's not in sync. And in the case of Le'Veon Bell, that's just what's going on. For some reason, and I've been watching the games, they're just not throwing to him as much anymore. It's almost like they forget that Le'Veon Bell's really, really good at catching and running with the ball. And, you know, so they just haven't thrown to him that much. And Juju Smith-Schuster's kind of emerged as a slot slash short target for
shiny new toy.
And he's a shiny new toy, and he's getting some of those targets that Le'Veon Bell might have gotten in the past right now. So it's not a great situation for Bell. And again, this is a Thursday game, but like this season, that doesn't mean Bell isn't great. He's the man. He's Le'Veon Bell. But,
right,
you know, he's just not doing it this year. He certainly hasn't justified the massive salary that you have to pay to roster him in DFS. And that really is the troubling thing for me. If I'm paying $9,500, if you compare NFL to NBA, if I'm paying $10,000 for LeBron James, I know I have a pretty decently high floor, maybe 40 points, 38 to 40 points on for a LeBron James type player, which would be the equivalent of, let's say, 18 to 20 points for an NFL player. Now, the issue I have is you're not even getting really that 20-point floor with Le'Veon Bell so far this season. You know, he's giving you games with 13s and 15s, and it's just not enough. You can't pay that much and not be assured of a certain floor, because it's really harming the rest of your team to pay up. So that's the one thing. You need that consistency, and it's been a little bit risky this year to roster Bell so far. I think he'll turn it around, and I think he'll have a big run, and people will forget about it. That always happens. But right now, it's a little risky. And same thing, same could be said for Antonio Brown.
I'm with you 100%. So largely off the game, and not much else to talk about.
Yeah, definitely not the kind of game you want to, you know, it's a Thursday. I mean, no.
Right. All right, well, let's move into Sunday then. We've got the 1 p.m. games, Detroit Lions at Chicago Bears. Soldier Field, 41-point total. This one's a whopper, folks. Detroit is the road favorite, carrying the 3-point spread into Chicago. When it comes to me, I'm sure you're going to find something about this one too, but I got to be honest with you, I don't see anything of interest in this one with all the other choices that I have this week, so I'll just let you say it, and I'll try and stay out of it for you.
Very much to stay out of, man. This is one of the ugliest games on the slate. Chicago does not play high-scoring games. They haven't all season. Detroit is a play-up or play-down to their opponent type of team. Very, very matchup-based. So the Lions, you know, you give them a great matchup, yeah. You know, like last week, load them up. But when they're in a slow-paced game, they will play down to that level. Defensively, both teams are above average. You know, Chicago's allowing, you know, both of these teams, like Chicago's allowing the 11th fewest points to the QB position. I always look at the QB position, points allowed, because that really is the tells the tale. Detroit is allowing the 10th. I've heard some people talking about, you know, Dontrell Inman as a punt play this week. He had a bunch of targets last week. That's fine. I think there's some weather conditions going on in the Midwest that we need to be aware of for this Sunday. And this being in the Windy City, I don't see where there's going to be a lot of throwing. Okay? Because I want to crack that open. You're our meteorologist, man. While I'm talking, what I want you to do is at some point get me some weather conditions in the Midwest. Because I've already heard that Cleveland is going to be a freaking blizzard scenario.
Well, I'll tell you what they're saying. They're saying that the current situation, now I didn't know it was timing on Sunday because I hadn't been paying that close of attention to it, but they're talking about a winter storm coming down. The lakes are cooling off, but they're still unusually warm. Big Arctic cold air mass comes down across those lakes. Nice northwest wind all of a sudden.
Wait, slow down. I made a mistake by saying you're the other guy. No one cares about any of that. All I need to know is it going to be windy?
Lake
and
effect
is it going
snow.
To be snowing? I opened the door way too wide.
You push the button,
I'm
dude.
I'm closing
you push the, button.
The door. Shut the door.
Don't push the weatherman button.
No. Just tell me windy and snow. What's going on?
Oh, that's hilarious. I'm calling up Chicago right now. You can keep talking about the next game if you want to. I'll get you.
I'm going to skip that game because it's a turd. And you don't play.
Do we even care? Do we even care about the weather in that game?
I do care about the weather because I want to know the general weather of the Midwest to know of other games to avoid. But as far as that one goes, it didn't take. Chicago's referred to as the Windy City. All right. And then if you add it there was actually windy, it's really bad. So, no, I don't want that game, really. There's actual exciting games this week to get involved with. So, yeah, we'll focus on better ones.
Sounds good. We'll close Pandora's box for a second.
All right, so the next game.
Next game is Kansas City and the New York Giants. Kansas City's coming off a bye week, headed into New York, 44.5 point total. It looks like carrying a 10.5 point rush rate. That tells me that Vegas thinks that New York has a whole lot of quit in them. And when KC comes off a bye, I don't know what to expect out of Andy Reid. I'm hoping that the big spread leads to massive Kareem Hunt usage. Andy Reid tends to forget about his players for a little while, and then he kind of realizes, oh shit, what I do, and he comes back to him. To me, Kareem Hunt, Alex Smith, Travis Kelce are the plays in this game. I don't really care about many other people. So while I go ahead and look up the weather and give you a weather forecast, why don't you tell me what you think about this one?
Yeah, the Giants, when you say have a whole lot of quit in them, yeah, they're thrown in the towel this year. They hate the coach. Now, what does that mean? People say the Q word. And I want to kind of get into that. There's so many stats here that are relevant, but talking about quitting, if you're playing NFL football, these are grown men playing against grown men who are very serious athletes. Now, the difference between giving it 100% and giving it like 95% is the difference between winning and losing. Like you kind of go in there, but you know you hate your coach, but you love your teammates, so you want to play for them. But you know that your distaste for your coach maybe cause you to do a little bit less prep during the week than you might have if, let's say, you know, you had a coach that you loved. That's a little bit of what the quit I'm referring to is. Now, all of that said, this is a home game, and teams will always play a little bit better at home. But I mean, look at this spread, 10.5 point. Number one, I think I'd bet the Giants here just because a home team should not be 10.5 point underdog, especially against a not an explosive offense like the Chiefs. But, you know, yeah, so these numbers really point to a Kareem Hunt type of day. The Giants have not had a game where a tight end didn't score a touchdown, I don't think, all year.
Mm-hmm. Right,
so,
I saw that too.
I mean, Kelce is going to be something special here. And basically every weapon. The problem, one of the hard parts about a game like this is, like, how do you choose? They're 30, you know, they're the worst against running backs, the worst against quarterbacks, they're the worst against tight ends. It's like this Giants team, you can beat them in every possible way. And the only thing they do good is Janoris Jenkins. And even he doesn't.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to end up with an Alex Smith, Travis Kelce lineup, and then another lineup with Kareem Hunt in it in the defense.
Yeah.
Now I've covered both bases. One lineup will do okay. One lineup might do great. Who knows? But at least if something happens, I'm there.
They both might do well. And on the Giants side,
both do well.
On the Giants side, what I like about their offense is they don't have a lot of players. So the entire offense flows through Evan Ingram and Sterling Shepard. Sterling Shepard's one of those other names. I had him everywhere last week, every lineup. I mean, they were playing.
Yeah, he did well.
49ers. He had a great game. So, you know, that's what saved the cash. But
he's actually not in a bad spot again. He should be a name that maybe is on the radar somewhere too.
Yeah. I mean, he's getting some ridiculous 30% target share, and they don't have anyone else to throw to. Sure. Sure. So there's goodness on both sides of this game, even though the total isn't as robust as I'd like to see. I think given the terrible defense that the Giants have played, and given the fact that the Giants are at home and are likely to just hang around a little bit, I think, more than what is expected, I kind of like this game a little bit. As I mean, it's not going to be very popular. I think Alex Smith might be somewhat popular, but
given the choices on the rest of the slate, I think he's going to have to be pretty popular.
I mean, there are some good choices too. I don't know. There's some games I'm very excited to target.
We'll get
more
to those. Let me fire off the weather. It looks like it's going to rain overnight on Saturday. It should be gone by game time. The issue is going to be wind. It looks like 20-mile-an-hour winds.
Is that
if
where?
That holds.
Chicago?
In New York.
Okay, so New York has weather also, particularly wind. If more wind is a push to the running game and a significant negative to the passing game, particularly the deep passing game. So, you know, 20-mile-per-hour winds, that's enough wind to cause for concern.
Point is that, you know, we're doing this on Wednesday. That's the forecast for Sunday. So
yeah,
obviously bear that in mind. It's worth watching. I will also say this is a preview to our VIPs. The Box Checker article is already all queued up and about ready to drop. And I will tell you that Alex Smith, Kareem Hunt, and Travis Kelce are checking a whole lot of boxes.
Nice.
So.
Nice.
Anything else for that one?
No. Let's get to this next one here.
Tampa Bay at Miami. Tampa Bay, 40.5-point total on the game, 1-point spread. So we've got a darn near pick 'em coming at you with Tampa Bay and Miami. This ought to be a game to you. This is your too bad defense rule, or it should be.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I'm not a big fan. I have a funny feeling with all the green across all of the DVP. You got plays coming everywhere, and you're ready to have this one play to the over.
I do. I do like this game.
I'm learning.
Now, you know, play to the over. What does that mean? DraftKings is adjusting point. I want to re-explain how everything works again. DraftKings adjusts points very, very aggressively based on matchups and game totals and all this kind of thing. So the idea of just going to the most highly projected game of the week and just kind of loading up on those players, which is something that I would do 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. That's how I got started with DFS. It doesn't work as well anymore because, you know, those players are sort of – some of that stuff is being priced in. So we have to look at some of these games and say, all right, where's the situation where maybe the odds makers are wrong, or maybe we think we can figure some other thing out, right? And this is one of those games for me. I mean, look at all the green on the defenses of both of these teams. Now, you know, Miami's basically the worst at everything. 31st, 21st, 32nd, you know, all 30s and high 20s. I don't even know what's the point of me going through them. And there's a whole lot of green on that Bucs side, too, giving up to 28th most points, or 28th against quarterbacks and you know, 20th against running backs. So there's all sorts of potential here with two teams that don't play a lot of defense. Now, last week we saw the Bucs actually play pretty well against the Jets, so that's cause for concern. But that was a home team, home game for the Bucs. And in this case, the home team is the worst defensive team, Miami. Now, obviously, so there's just a lot of goodness here. Mike Evans is coming back. Miami has no one that can guard stop him. And there's a very good chance that Fitzpatrick is just going to focus in on that dude and keep throwing to him. So I really like Mike Evans in this game. I think he'll go underlooked. Fitzpatrick, playable. Probably won't play him. Told you guys not to play him last week. People
hurt you to say that.
Yeah, well, I mean, this week maybe. By the way, last week Fitzpatrick was touted as a cash game play. And I could not understand that. And, you know, he was showing up as a projected value, and I got that. But, I mean, Jets defense ain't that bad. Miami defense is pretty bad. So even Doug Martin, who I never use, is usable. I'm not going to have a lot of them. I may not have any, but he's usable.
Right.
And, you know, so the whole Tampa Bay kind of crew, but I would focus on maybe Mike Evans and possibly Doug Martin on that team. And then for Miami, I don't have a whole lot of weapons I'm excited for, but, you know, Devontae Parker and Jarvis Landry are two guys that are always playable if the price is right. I don't know if the price is right this week.
Any chance you play DeGaff Cutler?
No.
I'm not. I actually heard him mentioned a time or two and was like, man, why? I don't get it.
I want players who are awesome. Yeah, no, I'm not going to play. No. Have you seen Cutler? No. No, I won't be playing.
People talk about it. I'm like, I would only play him in case he tweeted me back and I got to meet his wife one day. I mean, that's it.
Yeah, you know, talking about his wife, let me tell you a little story about his wife.
Talk about opening a box.
Yeah, all right. Now that you open that one up, I think her name is like...
Gather around, children. Story time with Kevin.
Yes, it's ancient Kevin lore. I was forced to watch that horrible OC show, okay, on MTV that featured his wife, like three seasons of it, okay? And it was pure torture. My wife was obsessed with that show. I know about Spencer. I know about Heidi. I know about Lauren. I know about the whole OC crew. And trust me when
I'm
tell
so glad
you,
I don't know any of that show.
I wish I could say I don't know any of it. But Jay Cutler's wife was the quote bitch of the show. Anyway, that's my story.
That explains the look on his face all the time. You don't want to go home.
No, she was the bitch on the show, and I'm sure she lays the smack down when he gets home.
That's funny.
She's like,
there we go.
There's a reason why he wants to go home, study the playbook. She's like, no, you'll give me attention. Oh fuck. Fine.
That's funny. Can we move to the next game?
No, I want to talk more about the OC.
I don't want to get you ranting on the OC.
That was the worst show. Wait, I still remember the opening theme. It was like some... you know what? Let me cue it off. Hold on. No. All right, let's go on to the next one while I cue that up.
All seven viewers or listeners have just left. We're down to zero.
No, I won't cue it. Forget it. I will not play it.
Next game is Baltimore at Green Bay up at Lambeau Field. 38-point total. That's a big one. 2-point road favorites are Baltimore. And I will tell you this. You're interested in the Midwest weather. I was looking it up. This one's another wind game. Any snow, 60% chance of snow should happen well before game time and be out of there.
Before
game time and be out of there. So,
I mean,
I will tell you this, weather nerd, 5 days out, a lot of times those systems tend to slow down a little bit, so you do want to watch the weather because it wouldn't surprise me if it starts creeping towards Sunday, but as of right now, it's out of there on Saturday.
All right. Here's
so, don't worry about it.
The game's got a 38-point total. Okay, it's got two teams that have been bad.
You wanted
if
snow.
It's wind,
snow.
If it's windy, snowing, forget it. But If the windy conditions are not there, then I really have to say Green Bay has not been good against the wide receiver position, and particularly against WR1. And Jeremy Maclin's cheap, and he's been doing fine the last few weeks. So Jeremy Maclin's maybe the only player I'd have interest in for this entire game.
I agree 100%, but I don't even think I can reach that far.
No, I mean, he's cheap. He's cheap enough. Let's see.
He's got to get in the end zone, though.
I mean, he's got a 4,500. Nah, 4,500 on DraftKings. He just needs to get a bunch of receptions. I mean, he's in play is what I'm saying. The only concern I have is, A, the weather. But the flip side is there's no running backs here that interest me. Jamal Williams, very, very tough guy to want to roster. Did not look good so far at all, ever. So I think Williams will get 20-plus touches if Ty Montgomery can't play. But outside of that, no. 38-point total. It's just not the kind of game that's going to really, you know, outside of, you know, some crazy tournament wacko things. I mean,
what about
there's not
the
many
wind
plays
kicks
in that
up.
Game that you're going to want to get involved with.
What about if the wind kicks up tournament play on the Ravens defense? Can you see it? Can you see it? Or are there others?
I mean, I can see it. Like there's a low total there, but yeah, I could see Ravens defense is certainly, you know, one of the possible defenses. But I like to see a team favored by a little bit more or at home. So it's not going to be a core situation. And realistically, Brett Hundley has actually looked a little bit better each week. So no, not in a road game. Not for me.
I agree that you want to see a bigger spread. 100%.
Yeah.
So we're off of that one, and we're moving on, right?
Yeah.
Let's go to L.A. This one is so weird. The L.A. Rams and the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota. 46-point total, 2.5-point spread for Minnesota. It's a game that I look at, and I go, okay, there's Thielen, there's even Keenum, there's Goff, Gurley, Robert Woods, the defenses, maybe a tight end. I mean, this game has a lot of players in it, but then I look at who they're playing, and I go, crap, it's a good defense. And we typically don't roster guys going against good defenses. Are you going to make any exceptions to that rule, or are you largely off of this game just on how solid the defenses are alone?
No, hell no. These are the two. I know, you know, when I first looked at this game, it's funny. When I first looked at this game, I'm like, oh, Vikings, you don't play anyone at the Vikings. That's been a rule for me for years. And I still sort of believe in that rule, except these are the two hottest offenses in the league right now. There are no two hotter offenses than the Rams and the Vikings. So the game has to be in consideration just from that point of view alone. These are two very hot teams that have been scoring a shitload of points. The Rams in particular have been doing a ton of scoring. So now, but this is Vikings at home and we don't want to play. There's all kinds of confusion surrounding this game because, you know, inherently I look at the DVP numbers and especially the Rams are killer. I mean, they're stopping quarterbacks. They're stopping WR1s and 2s and they're stopping the tight end. They're doing pretty good against running backs. And then you look at Minnesota, and they're pretty darn good, too. You know, they're stopping the running back. They're number 5 overall against the running back position. They have Xavier Rhodes doing his thing. Don't know who he's going to be on here, but he's doing his thing. They're not giving up too many points to quarterbacks. And last week's game actually jacked up those numbers quite a bit with Cousins going bananas. But it's a real interesting one. I wish I knew what the ownership numbers would be. If I thought this game would be very low owned, I would be more interested in it. If I thought it was going to be super chalk, I'd be less interested in it. So I'm going to kind of wait and see a little bit with that and kind of see where our ownership projections fall and try to figure out if this game is being touted or not. I'm going to listen, going to check out some of the free, you know, boards where people just talk about these games so you can kind of get a feel for what the public is going to do, what Joe Q Public is doing. I have a few groups that I spy on.
I'll tell you so far, the only names I'm hearing are Thielen and Keenum. I'm not hearing much about the Rams, and I'm not hearing a lot about Vikings. I'm hearing a lot of the same thing we're talking about, which is, oh, my God, they're good defenses. What do we do? What do we do? And, you know, and there are people still talking about Thielen and Keenum, but that's all I'm hearing right now.
Well, we'll have to see as the week progresses a little bit. But I will say Keenum Keenum is in danger, as awesome as he played last week. The Vikings want to get Teddy Bridgewater up to speed. Mm-hmm. I don't think they envision going into the playoffs with Case Keenum, which I think may be a mistake for them, but I'm not, you know, I'm not in charge over there. But I'm not the boss. They do what they want. But I think it may be a mistake. Keenum has played really well. But they're trying to get Teddy Bridgewater in there, which means there might be a hook in play for mm-hmm. Case Keenum if he's not playing that great early in the game. So there's a lot of risk to a Case Keenum. And even more risk if Bridgewater comes in, because there's no way that dude is going to be sharp first game off of a 1.5 year long injury situation. As a matter of fact, I think it would be a terrible mistake. I'm not sure how I would deal with it if I was in the Vikings situation. I'd almost want to you want to get Bridgewater. Like we've seen that it's taken Cam Newton almost 6 games till he started heating up. 4 or 5 games it took him until he kind of got his shit together, because he was coming off a long-term injury. And I think that's what it takes. If I'm the Vikings, I'm thinking, this is week 11. I mean, in the next week or two, we need this guy playing if he's going to be our quarterback right. for the playoffs. Or else we got to understand and accept that we're rolling with Keenum all the way through, mm-hmm. Win or lose. So right. it's coming down to crunch time. I have concerns about that, and that is giving me pause for the whole deal. But all that said, yeah, I like Thielen. I like Stephon Diggs somewhat. And, you know, yeah, hell yeah, I like those guys. I like the Vikings weapons a little bit more than the Rams weapons here. But I do think you can game stack this one in GPPs, no question. Just because it's a hot game, and I think maybe it's hard to know. I think Robert Woods may get the Xavier Rhodes treatment. In that case, he certainly will not deliver on his $6,000 salary.
Who'd have thought?
Yeah, Robert Woods. Well, who'd have thought?
He's a name worth shadowing now.
I will quote you, who said, and I quote, "Jeff Fisher sucks as a coach."
Yeah, right. You know what's really funny? You know what's really funny about that quote? I still mean every word of it.
There it is. So, as it turns out, it wasn't that the Rams were so terrible. It's just that they had a really, really bad coach in place who sucked. And you can see now, just by the change of coaching staff, how much better a team can be. Jeff Fisher should never get another job in the NFL. He should be in college where he belongs.
He shouldn't be coaching my high school team.
No, he can coach the high school team. He's fine.
Okay.
He'll be fine.
All right.
They Arizona, only run Houston, in high school. Ready? You know, they don't need to do anything all that intense on the high school team. You know, they're just running all the time.
Third and long. We'll fake it to you. What are you you ready for the Arizona game? You got anything else on that one?
No.
All right.
No.
Arizona at Houston, 39.5 point total. Man, can we get something north of 40?
This is another week, just like last week, remember? Every game was 40 points. This has been a weird year for the NFL. Way more low projected games than I've ever seen before.
Feast or famine. Yeah. This one's almost a pick 'em, too. 1 point favorite to Arizona as of right now. That 39.5 point total sucks. Blaine Gabbert draws the start, apparently. Can he pick that secondary that sucks so bad apart?
I don't know. I mean, it's been a while since I've seen Blaine Gabbert out on the field, and what I saw of him wasn't very good, so I don't know. Houston's just been the team to target in general, right? It's the team you want to get players going against. They've been giving up massive games to pretty much every wide receiver they've faced. But Blaine Gabbert? Oof. He's not good. And the one way that I would expect Arizona to attack them would have been, you know, via just a heavy dose of Adrian Peterson. But the one thing that the Texans are pretty good at is stopping the run. So this is just an ugly game with no real relevance. Even DeAndre Hopkins, who can be successful even under a shitty quarterback. I mean, Patrick Peterson's a pretty good corner, and if somebody's going to slow him down, Peterson probably will. I love the cheapness of DeAndre Hopkins on DraftKings. It's almost absurd at 6,100, and it will be difficult not to grab some shares of that. but the matchup isn't great. So just be aware. I think DeAndre Hopkins is playable here, even with Patrick Peterson in coverage, just based on the salary levels. I don't love Larry Fitzgerald here. He's a little too expensive considering it's Blaine Gabbert. And that's it. I mean, this is just an ugly one. I don't even know what defense to really choose here. Two really weird situations better avoided. This is the bad teams, but that play like that you don't want this game. You know, there was those other games where you get the San Francisco at the Colts and they just score at will. This is the opposite. This is just an ugly one that I don't want anything to do with, really. 39.5, what is going on here? Let's go to the next game.
Fair enough.
Oh, wait.
Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville Jaguars at Cleveland Browns. So this is one you'll be interested in. The reason why is we're in Cleveland. This is one of your Midwest weather situations. 37-point total, 7.5-point road favorite, Jacksonville Jaguars. The questions that I would ask are centering around the running backs, but before we do that, this might really tell you everything you need to know. We have a weather guy inside DFS Army named Mark, and the dude is really, really good. And I'm going to be reaching for the big guns on this one because as I look right now, there's a damn near 100% chance of some kind of precipitation, rain changing to snow from midnight Friday night, / Saturday morning, all the way through game time. So you might get one of those scenarios where the rain is changing over to snow during the game, and we're talking about an inch of rain, which as that transfers over to snow is going to be accumulating snow most likely, and 20-mile-an-hour winds coming across that lake. So when you get there's your snow with wind. What do you do?
Stay the hell away from this thing. Those are some scary numbers. That field is going to be soaked and wet and icy and just horrible.
If that pans out, that's going to be sloppy, nasty stuff.
Yeah, and look at these totals. I mean, I guess if you want to get down with the Jacksonville defense, that's fine. You know, those sort of conditions do lend themselves to turnovers and slippery footballs and whatnot. But it certainly doesn't lend itself to passing or the passing game in general. So, you know, the Jags only actually have one healthy wide receiver. So, I mean, Marquise Lee was going to be getting pretty much 100% of the targets in this game. But that might not be many of them.
He was going to have that McCourty on him, too.
Yeah, and he's going to get McCourty. Well, McCourty can't follow him in all that slush and sludge. But it doesn't matter. This is – no. Just stay away from this damn game. The only person who's in consideration is Fournette. But, I mean, man, he just beat the shit out of me last week with the
– me too.
I forgot that he was on the team, and that doesn't make things fun.
Had this game gotten a clean bill of health from the weatherman, I was going to actually be on Mercedes Lewis against those Cleveland – that crap tight end show that they have, only because of that and how dirt ass cheap he is. He's in a good spot for his price, but I snow and wind, see ya. I can't even touch it. I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, so. The $2,700 price point. You know, I loves me some cheap tight ends, but
that's a cheap tight end, man. That was going to be good.
Well, he was going to be good more so not just because Cleveland's reputation against the tight end position, but because he's one of only two really healthy pass catchers. If you look at our list here, we have Dede Westbrook and Keelan Cole starting. Both of those guys are rookies. Dede Westbrook is coming off of the IR. He's not going to do anything. Keelan Cole is coming off the practice squad. He's not going to do anything. So you got basically a bunch of ne'er-do-wells. And actually, Marquise Lee is way too expensive here on both sides, $6,500, $5,500. Respectively, FanDuel, DraftKings. I don't want a piece of that either.
I did not see the ne'er-do-well coming.
You didn't see that one coming? Yeah.
I didn't see it coming this time.
I keep that one in my back pocket for just a perfect situation.
Liked it. You dropped it. You dropped it at a good time. Very well played, sir. But no Duke Johnson, Isaiah Crowell, none of that crap in this game unless that weather clears up and becomes 60 and sunny, right?
I mean, the one thing I'd say about Duke Johnson, because this is pretty much like – but the problem is this is the Jags defense. They're pretty good. But Duke Johnson would be the guy, mainly because, you know, kind of an out-of-the-backfield check-down pass. What do you do in the rain and in the weather? You throw screens, and you hope for the best.
Especially when you're coming from behind at home.
Yeah, but even general. I mean, you just – that's a screen. So that's where you throw screens. That's what you do. So, I mean, right. You know, I think the screen game – to Duke Johnson could work, but again, do I really want a piece of a 14.75 point projection for the Browns? I mean, I have to nail the guy that gets all the touchdowns. I have to be correct about it. And
you mean you have to nail the guy that gets the touchdown?
Yeah, the one. I mean, no, there's two. There's two available, or one in a couple of field goals. We'll see. But,
maybe.
You know, like, I don't think I'm definitely able to nail that down, so I'm just going to
try you know to find how to get
greener
it in the swap,
pasture.
Right?
Wait, we got greener pastures coming up. Here, we got a
Crowell drops the ball, goes from this lineman's hands to this lineman's hands, one of them falls on it in the end zone, and there goes one of your touchdowns.
That's right.
To a lineman.
Isn't that always the helps no one situation? I'm like, oh no, there's only
Absolutely.
Two. Is it David?
Exactly. That
no,
just
that
burned half
that
my
guy.
Production out of
like,
this game.
Some random tight end for Cleveland. Not even the random one that's supposedly the one that you know, whose name I can't pronounce, but rather
some guy they had to go up to the referee and say, yeah, that guy over there, he's eligible on this play, okay?
Yeah, he gets it.
All right.
That's classic.
Washington Redskins at New Orleans Saints. Down to the Superdome we go. 51-point total is damn juicy. 7.5 points with New Orleans being the favorite here is kind of juicy again. The thing is, it feels to me like New Orleans is kind of going run first. It feels like Drew Brees is not going to be the Drew Brees that goes crazy in the dome. It does feel like if they're going to play and stay competitive in this one, Kirk Cousins is going to have to be chucking the hell out of that ball. Do you like him enough to make him one of your plays this week?
Yeah, I like Kirk Cousins. You know, Saints are a really good defense, though, and they're allowing the fourth fewest points to the quarterback position this season. So, I mean, we got to keep that in mind. This isn't exactly the Saints defense that you want to purposefully exploit against quarterbacks. That's not the type of team they are anymore. We want to kind of look at that a little bit differently. So it's just important to be aware that this Saints team is really, really good defensively. All of their numbers are spectacular, except against the running back position. But unfortunately, Washington doesn't support a traditional running back, or they don't really. If they do, he's not like used all that much. But there are some interesting things here. So I think we gotta kind of consider the fact that when Rob Thomas has been out of Rob Kelly, sorry, not Rob Thomas. And if you say this life ain't, sorry, I'll stop.
That. Wow.
Yes, I gave a Rob Thomas moment.
That's one I've never heard you do.
No, and I will never do that one again.
I don't know. I wouldn't say never.
Give me your heart, make it real. No, not him.
Oh,
the other.
Hey, say the Santana part from when we go down to Mexico City here in a couple of games.
So. When Fat Rob is out of the game, the last time that happened, Chris Thompson had 20-plus touches in the game, and that dude beasted. So Sam J. Perine is just not good, and I think this is going to be a Chris Thompson day. So, yeah, I like Cousins. I'm not quite sure who to pair him up with.
Thompson.
Chris Thompson is one of them. Maybe Vernon Davis. Maybe Josh Doctson has gotten a little more play recently. And if you – let me pull up his numbers. But he's been more and more involved every single week. So I like Doctson. Certainly Jameson Crowder.
I was going to say it.
Jay Crow. Yeah, Jay Crow. And
he's been getting targets again, like something like 9 and 11 the past 2 weeks.
His target share has exploded finally. But, I mean, Doctson came in with 7 targets last week, and his price isn't going up. It's come down. So I, you know, what I'm trying to figure out is who Marshawn Lattimore will be on. And once our CBWR chart comes out, like tomorrow or something, maybe that'll give a little more clarity in that sense. But for right now, I think, yeah, I kind of like this game. And, of course, on the New Orleans side, you have to look at their weapons. So, obviously, Kamara and Ingram are now an unstoppable force at this point. Both of these guys are viable. They could play at the same time. I'd say Kamara may be the one with a safer floor. And I think they have an equal ceiling. But Kamara, I think at this point, could be considered to have a safer floor. I mean, this dude is getting a ton of targets every week, 5, 6, 7 targets a game. He's getting carries in there in the running game. He's also an explosive player, so he's been doing a lot with those targets. Ingram gets more volume each game, but less work in the passing game. There's definitely games that pass by where he gets no work in the passing game.
That's been trending down too.
They're going more and more with Kamara, which is interesting. But both of these guys are viable every single week going forward, and it is time to accept the fact that the Saints have moved on from the losing ways of the past, where they would be this high flying offense, to all passing and fast paced and all of that, to a more traditional. We play solid defense. We run it. And it's been working for them. They are now a legitimate Super Bowl contender, and this is really, really fascinating that without any change in coaching staff or personnel, somehow this team has, and you know, outside of the defensive personnel improving a little bit, this team has transformed itself from what it's been for the last 5, 6, 7 seasons into something completely different. And I got to tell you, it's hard for me to wrap my brain around it. But it's happening, and it's there. So you gotta go with the flow.
Can I drop one on you here? I think with the floor that he's been showing lately, Michael Thomas has been a fairly cash safe type of wide receiver, but he has no ceiling anymore. Until I look earlier this week, and he's only got 2 touchdowns on the year. That ain't right, man. Something's up. Either he's getting ready to explode with some serious positive touchdown regression, or he just ain't going to score this year. And I don't know which one it is yet. But if I was a tournament guy, I wouldn't have any problem running, taking a shot at Cousins with, you know, some, you know, Doxson or J. Crow or something like that, and then running it back with Michael Thomas and just hoping it all comes together. With that 51-point total, never know.
I mean, in a tournament, anything goes. So, yeah, sure. I will say though he will see Josh Norman quite a bit, or I would expect him to. Can't say for sure if they're going to shadow or how that works. So got to look at that a little bit. But you know the Redskins do have a fairly good pass defense. I don't know that they're good enough to stop the Saints at home. I mean they weren't good enough to stop. That's the Norman effect, right? And the WR2 is number 16. So, but they're not exactly getting torched by wide receivers. So, you know, the question is, does New Orleans attack through the deep passing game, or do they throw it to Kamara and throw it to Ingram like they've been doing? So, I mean, I think all of the running backs, all 3 of the running backs in this game are probably the 3 most interesting and most chalky kind of plays out of this one, but these are 2 deceptively pretty decent defenses. So, especially against the quarterback position, especially New Orleans, and Cousins is just better at home than he is on the road. So there's a couple of factors. Absolutely. I'm always looking for who's the cash play. You know, tournament plays, whatever. Yeah, of course, stack it up. But I mean, the cash plays. If I have to look at this game for cash plays, I'm looking at the 3 running backs. And none of the wide receivers. Actually, I'm going to throw in Vernon Davis if Reed is out. I do like Vernon Davis here. Yeah. Yeah. And that's just because Vernon Davis has just kicked ass every single week when Reed is out. Like, he is basically a healthy Reed light kind of player.
It's interesting because New Orleans has defended the tight end well.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
I don't buy those numbers.
There we go.
I just see those numbers and I don't believe in them. You know, if you get too married to the DVP number, you're going to get into trouble. With tight end, especially whenever you see the tight end number, take it with a grain of salt. I want to know what's going on and why. And with the Saints, it could just be that they haven't faced any of the teams that have an attack tight end position.
Well, that's true. Look at the division they're in.
Yeah, I mean, like, who are they going up against? Hooper and Brake twice?
Name me a stud.
No, Hooper and Brake, these guys are not studs. They don't see top-end tight ends frequently, and maybe that's why that number looks good.
Sounds fair. By the way, weather will be 70 degrees and the winds will be calm inside that dome.
Yeah, I would imagine we won't need the weather conditions.
Move on to another perfect weather game. Buffalo heads out west to San Diego. Well, I'm sorry, L.A. Still, old habits, die hard. L.A. Chargers, 43.5-point total. Charger home favorite, 4 points. This one seems to me like another battle of the running backs. I don't know who the new guy is in Buffalo. Don't know crap about him. Do you think he leans on McCoy? And then number two, my real question is Gordon. You say it better than me. Gordon.
It's pronounced Gordon.
However it works out. Is he suddenly in a freaking committee?
Yes, he is. And it's not a good situation. And
it's not both well for my season-long team, man.
No, I have a lot of Gordon on my season-longs. And, yeah, the magic of Melvin Gordon has always been that they use him in all situations. Because he's never been this guy who really was a great up-the-gut running back. But he's gotten his points when he was playing the Danny Woodhead role for the Chargers, which was the, hey, we're going in the hurry-up. The Chargers run a certain kind of hurry-up that is very, very apt to target the back out, the check down to the back out of the backfield. That is their thing. And that's where Gordon's done his damage. And now they seem to be bringing in Austin Eckler in those situations, which is rendering Melvin Gordon as more of a two-down, situation-dependent running back. He no longer, assuming they will continue to do that, he no longer justifies his elite salary.
Oh, hell no.
That is no longer justified. And he is now, in essence, a situational dependent kind of player where he will be successful in games in which the Chargers lead and win, like some certain other running backs. So he's not worth paying up for, because if I want to gamble on which team is going to win, I can do that with some cheaper guys.
That's a maybe anyway, because what is he getting, about 2.8 yards per carry?
This is what I'm saying. He will do better in wins because at least he's in the game and he'll do his thing.
Right.
But he's not showing like this. But his magic was the Chargers go down, he's still in there. And now that Austin Eckler has emerged the last few weeks, and now he's looking more of like a 70-30 type split, it's not that Gordon didn't get his touches. He did. He got his 21 touches last week. But I want the passing game work, not the up-the-gut 2.5 yard runs. I can pick up Jamal Williams to get me 2.5 yards per carry and 22 runs this week.
You can pick up Adrian Peterson and get 37 carries at 2.5 yards.
That's right. I can get Adrian Peterson, 37 carries, 75 yards, one touchdown, fine by me. So I'm not paying for Gordon. And there's people – I heard this talk about, well, the Buffalo Bills are going to lean on LeSean McCoy. You don't play running backs in losing efforts. I don't know how to teach the fundamentals – any more than I've done for all of these years. A road running back in a, quote, losing effort is rarely going to put up a big number. We want running backs from teams that win the game, period. So I'm not paying stud value for – and that's not to say that McCoy might not have a good game. Sure, anything's possible. But that's a GPP – you know, that's a tournament – contrarian situation. It's not, oh, I want to spend all of myself. I just got finished talking about, you know, how in football it's tricky. When you're paying up, you really got to lock in a floor. Because in basketball, you're locking in a floor. You know, all right, I'm paying for LeBron, but at least I know I'm getting 40 points today. You know, if he does well, he'll get you 70 points. But yeah, I could probably lock in 40. It's barely, you know, value for the player, but you know, in the grand scheme, it's fine. When you're talking about a guy like McCoy, he's got a new quarterback. We don't know anything about him. I think he's a rookie. And I think, is this a signal that the Bills are giving up on the season? I don't know.
I think it's a signal they're giving up on Tyrod.
they've certainly given up on Tyrod. They haven't liked him, and Tyrod's not a winning quarterback. I mean, Tyrod has proven, unfortunately, and I'm not trying to be a dick, but Tyrod has proven that he's probably not a winning quarterback. You know, so or at least not with the Bills. So he's done okay, you know, for my fantasy team when I played him, but you know, that's a different story.
I saw, because he's cheap, I saw multiple Twitters or tweets last week about how many open wide receivers is Tyrod going to intentionally not throw to.
He's not a thrower. So, I mean, he's a guy.
It kind of tells you all you need to know.
He's not a thrower. The Bills never produce a quality wide receiver day, you know. But now, so I mean, Chargers defense is certainly in play. And what's going on with the Chargers? Is Rivers concussed? Like, there's a lot of mystery on both sides. Philip Rivers has a concussion. If he doesn't play, I don't know who the hell is the quarterback for the Chargers. And at that point, throw everything out the window. This could be, I mean, this
Ryan will even go Patrick, they're going to fly him out west. He's going to pull a doubleheader.
Seriously, who the hell is the backup for Philip Rivers for the Chargers? I mean, I should know this. We're, you know, doing the show. But I don't actually know who the backup is.
You don't. You shouldn't know that.
I should know. I should be an encyclopedia. If
you knew that, I'd be worried about you.
No, I like to be an encyclopedia of all things football. But I think
I'd be worried about your kids having a missing, you know, an absentee father and stuff. I mean, it just wouldn't be good.
That's going on. I will find out. All right. Now here, this makes it worse. Did you know? All right, this is going to blow your mind. That Kellen Clemens is still in the NFL and he's operating as the third string quarterback for the Chargers. Did you know this?
Give him hell with Kel.
Kellen Clemens was a second round draft pick by my beloved New York Jets many years back. They have another guy, Cardale Jones. I mean, I don't know anything about this dude. Nothing.
He's a third-string quarterback, so you're really just kind of filling in. You need the second-string quarterback.
I'm not sure which guy's the second string. I would assume it's Kellen Clemens, who is a veteran. He's been around the league for
veteran non-starter.
Wait a minute. This says even DraftKings has his information wrong. It calls him a second-round pick in 2016. Clemens earned his last start as a member of the Rams in 2013. Wait a second.
Right. He was drafted again. He went back in the draft pool.
He was actually picked in 2006. It was 2006. So this guy's a 12-year
I was going to say, that's one of the best quotes in St. Louis that Jeff Fisher ever came up with. He goes, when they were having to start him, they said, we're going to give him hell with Kel. And we were just like,
oh boy,
whatever, dude. You suck. We lose.
How bad was Jeff Fisher? So I mean, Kellen Clemens. So I would imagine between Cardale Jones and Kellen Clemens, they'll go with Kellen Clemens because he's got a 12-year – He's got a lot of years of experience, but I mean, I think actually Kellen Clemens has the potential to put up a competent day. So actually, you know, he is a competent.
He's going to be the minimum. So I know you like your dirty cheap quarterbacks.
Not this one. So I mean, avoid, right? Just avoid.
You ready to move on?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. I didn't know. We didn't want to go into his high school bio or anything.
I just want to rip on Kellen Clemens for another 10 minutes and then move on.
Him and Ryan Fitzpatrick both.
Oh, the next one. Not good.
Cincinnati Bengals go up into Mile High, at which, believe it or not, is not the highest altitude game we have this week. 39-point total, 2.5-point spread favoring the Denver Broncos. And I got nothing to say about this game either. Maybe you want to mislead people. I don't want anyone playing any of this game. I think it sucks.
Yeah. There's nothing to like, period. Either side. Denver defense, maybe. Cincy defense, I guess. But outside of that, I mean, you know, this is Denver. They're good on defense. They're terrible on offense with Brock Osweiler and Paxton Lynch leading the way. Not exactly a murderer's row of scary quarterbacks. And then you have the Bengals who have just been awful on offense and particularly susceptible to quality opposition or quality defenses. And I fear for, you know, Andy Dalton in this matchup. He's probably going to be running for his life. Joe Mixon, not a good situation. AJ Green, not a good situation. Just not a good situation here. Full avoid of this game.
There we go. Let's make up for lost time. Just skip it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That works. I'm just glad you didn't have much to say about that one either. I'm on the right track. New England Patriots, I can't say at Oakland because they're in Mexico City. Last time they were in Mexico City, Oakland did come back late. So I always wondered about these games. Oakland came back late, Carr threw for almost 300 yards, three tutties, whatever. This one has a 53.5-point total on it, and New England's a 7-point favorite in this game. I worry because this one is a higher altitude technically than Mile High Stadium. And we heard about that last year, but it seemed like the game still was, 23-29 or something like that. So it wasn't like a terribly low scoring game. How do you handle a game like this? Do you just stack the hell out of it and trust Vegas at the 53-point total?
This is far and away the most attractive game on this slate to target from both sides. Without question, and far and away. So
that would be a yes.
Absolutely.
Want pieces of it. All
right. When I first glanced, Sunday night when I was like already given up on my GPP lineups for the day and kind of thinking, all right, so glad I broke. I'm slightly above even with all my cash games and the way that I allocated my bankroll last week. I'm just happy to get out of that one in the positive.
Subtle brag.
Subtle brag would be if I was doing well. I mean, but I was happy to break even last week, I will say that, or be slightly over even, actually, which was surprising, but I know not to tilt. I've been doing this a long time. But this game was the first one. I'm like, oh, shit. Now, I didn't even realize it was in Mexico City. I thought this was at Oakland. And what I like about certain games is, I like it when the better team's on the road and the slightly worse team is at home, because the home team's going to play a little bit better at home, and a team like New England, you're not going to stop them, especially if you're the Raiders. You're not going to stop them with your defense. I think the Patriots are going to score at will in this game. I want to point out that Oakland gives up the most points in the league to the QB position. They're number one. You know who's number three? The Patriots.
So I had a feeling you were going to say that.
We have the two teams that give up the most passing statistics facing off against one another. I think it's pretty clear what the move is here. Get a lot of exposure to this game. Now, I'm going to rattle off some names. We all know the names, but I'm going to rattle them off. That's my job. So the first one that stands out is Brandon Cooks, Tom Brady to Brandon Cooks. Now, why Cooks? Because with Chris Hogan on the shelf, there's just one fewer guy to suck away the target share from the other stud wide receivers. The guy who fills in for Hogan, Dorsett, is terrible. He's just not a player that is a threat to take away any sort of targets or fantasy scoring from anyone else. So it just adds to the potential for Cooks, Gronk, to a lesser extent, Amendola, and of course the trio of nameless running backs that the Patriots use on a week-over-week basis. So they're not actually nameless. I actually do have a preference, so I'm going to say Dion Lewis, Rex Burkhead, and James White. And it seems like Rex Burkhead is moving ahead of James White in the sort of all-purpose mm-hmm. back role. So I'm going to favor him just slightly over White, and Dion Lewis is going to be involved as well. So all of those players are in play for New England. It's a little trickier on the Raiders side of things. Obviously, the Patriots are just really bad. They're 30th against QBs, 30th against WR1s. Well, who's the WR1 for the Raiders? I think it's probably Amari Cooper. I think that the Patriots are going to put Gilmore on Crabtree, which can limit. I actually think they'll put their best guy on Crabtree. They should be able to limit him. Stephon Gilmore, I think, is his name. And he's pretty good, and he's a big dude. He's sort of the right kind of matchup for a Crabtree. I think he'll be able to go one-on-one and win that against Crabtree, which leaves Cooper as the guy. Cooper and Jared Cook. So that's probably the places that I'm looking at this week for the Raiders. I'm going to look at Carr. I really like Carr. I would have liked him more if this was a true home game. Now that I see that this is in Mexico City, that's a slightly less. But, I mean, I love Tom Brady. Why not use Tom Brady in your cash game? You know?
Yeah, no, I was going to tell you, he and Gronk are huge box checkers this week, too.
I bet. I mean, Brady's got to be a cash play.
And that's at a neutral site. I'm a big on home team guy on box checkers, and they're at a neutral site, so I can't even give them one more check for being a home team. So,
but it's not an away game, so at least that.
No, true.
And the Patriots are not the kind of team, and they're a disciplined team. They don't go to Mexico. They don't drink the water, you know, get all fucked up from that. they're disciplined. Bill Belichick walking around with bottles of water is like, don't drink that.
They don't get off the resort.
Yeah, you know, they keep them away from the donkey shows and those kind of things, and just stick to serious football.
That sounds like you've been to Mexico.
I have been to Mexico. Listen, you haven't lived
Did you stay away from the donkey shows?
No, I definitely.
I don't know how the hell else you would know about a donkey show.
Yeah, you don't stay away from the donkey show. You see you go to the donkey show.
Was that before or after the cockfight?
Listen, you know I like betting on things.
That's right. You're probably down there, you and Michael Vick, man.
I've got my American dollars floating out. Like, yeah, I like this.
Oh, homeboy, you're pimping. Here we go.
Yeah, no, I'm going for this one. You know, I get down with the locals when I travel. I just want to experience the culture. So anyway.
So you've seen donkey shows and cockfights. Now we have that figured out.
I've seen awesome. All those things.
Back alley speaking Spanish. Nice.
Yes. No, everything about this game, though, stands out as the game of the week. It was the first one I identified. I think it'll be the chalk game. I almost look at, you know, we talked about three games: Giants, Kansas City, Rams, Vikings, and now Raiders, Patriots. And those are the most intriguing three games of the week for me.
Not Washington, New Orleans.
To a lesser extent, even though that's okay. A high projection. To a lesser extent, because that Saints defense is pretty damn good. I don't know that there's going to be scoring coming from everywhere. And the Redskins defense is pretty good, so I don't know if there's going to be scoring coming from everywhere. I do think there will be scoring, but I think it'll be maybe even more predictable, like I said, in that one with the running game and how I think it's going to focus on that. But
as far as speaking my language.
Yeah, well, I like predictability too, man. That's
I like predictable.
Too. But I think, you know, Tom Brady's a pretty well locked in as probably the highest projected and certainly the highest likelihood, I think, of making value. And you can't discount Derek Carr here because the Patriots haven't stopped anyone. And I think they're going to have to play catch-up. They're going to be down. So the Pats haven't stopped anyone. So I really like everything about this game. And Amari Cooper, 6,000 on DraftKings? The only way the deal with Amari, listen, we know what Amari Cooper's about. He's not going to catch every pass that comes his way. He's going to drop he's going to drop 1 out of 10. We're going to say 2 out of 10 he's going to drop it.
Unless he's in the red zone, then he can drop 3 in a row.
Well, in the red zone, yeah. But, I mean, he's going to drop 2 out of the 10 passes. So in order for him to bring the same value, now he's got a lot of athleticism, he's got some explosiveness. So if he can just get, 30% more targets than anybody else priced at 6,000, he should be able to produce equally or even outproduce those guys. So we have to accept that Cooper is going to drop some passes. That's what he does. But he might catch a few of them. If he can catch just a few of them against this Patriots defense, which is very good, and you know they're going to be down. You know, that'll be the place to – that'll be the way to go.
That's just what I needed to hear.
Yeah.
To really roster up a lot of Cooper was – you know he's going to drop some passes, but, hey, he might catch a few. If he can just get 30% more targets than usual, he might outperform all the other 6K. Why should – all right, I'm in.
The ceiling is high, though.
the ceiling is high for one game a year, which he already had.
No, he can do it for more than one. He's got a couple.
No, I agree with you, but he's a risky play. He's not safe, that's for sure.
Just because of the drops. But the guy has right. gotten 10 targets a game. He just only catches about four of them. So he's like a guy who – he's like if another player was getting six targets, they would normally catch four. Well, Cooper gets the 10 targets. He catches the four or five. Now, if he didn't drop the two, then he'd be at seven. Now he'd be giving you beastly sure. scores.
And he can break them and everything else. And to be honest with you, he's got a higher target share than Michael Crabtree in that offense. They do throw to him more this year. So for whatever that's worth, he's yeah. going to get his targets.
And
it's
I
just
think
what
his
he
matchup
does
is better. But Cook, I'm not sleeping on Cook and Jericho. He's actually been the guy for the last few weeks, and he's done really well. And, you know, so I don't want to sleep on him. He does catch – well, he's been a dropsies guy, but he's been catching them this year. So, you know, kudos for that.
There you go. Well, you want to talk primetime? I want to do it with a little bit of a slant towards the FanDuel stuff because we still got the Thursday through Monday slate, and we've got the main slate that includes yeah. this Sunday night game. So
yeah.
Bear that in mind. These games will be – these players will probably be higher on your radar in the primetime slate for sure, but I still think a few of them are viable over on FanDuel. Sunday night's game, Philadelphia Eagles at Dallas Cowboys, of course.
I love
got
this
the division game.
Yeah, it's a
I
shame.
I do too. I want to watch time. It. I want to watch it. That's why I'm so pissed off at DraftKings, man. They take these games off. I want to watch this one. And this one actually has some fantasy goodness in it, not just for the primetime slate, but I think it's a little bit relevant, you know, across the main slate too. Not a ton, but 48-point total, 3.5-point road favorite are the Philadelphia Eagles. I thought for some reason they're in Philly, but nope, they're on the road. They're in Dallas this week. Philly's got themselves a solid defense. This is why I kind of wanted the main slate slant to it too. I wanted you to talk a little bit of Wentz and Dak because I'm telling you Dak misses Zeke. I could see that one coming. And do we trust Ajayi yet on larger slates, or are we just staying off of him for a week or so more?
Oh, I definitely do not trust Ajayi on a larger slate. But in the prime time, obviously you have to consider him.
But he's got to be playable, yeah, in that two-game prime time.
He has to be a consideration in the prime time. Do not trust, though, in the large slate. But I mean, speaking of just this game in general, number one, we have Carson Wentz, who's just been on fire all season, potentially emerging as a kind of like a future fantasy superstar. It kind of reminds me of mm-hmm. like the way I felt about Kirk Cousins last year. So, yeah, Carson Wentz has been fantastic. And he's got his weapons. Zach Ertz, is he ever going to be in a better spot? The Cowboys are 28th against the tight end position. They've given up a ton of points to the position. And Zach Ertz is completely matchup-proof, destroying teams who are number one against tight ends. So the beauty of the Ertz situation is you can't just double-team him. The Cowboys don't have good enough corners to pull a safety or an extra player down to cover Ertz in the same way that the Broncos did last week with Gronk. Now, if you notice the game last week, the Broncos, who were not known to be great versus tight ends, but they knew Gronk was coming in, and they made a game plan. They were going to double-team Gronk mm-hmm. every single play. And they said, you know what?
Even triple-team him.
There were people all over him. And they said, you know what? Dorsett, we can eliminate him with, you know, Roby. Or that we can Aqib Talib. We'll put him on Cook. And, you know, I forget all the names, but they basically accepted one-on-one matchups with their high-quality corners, and they sent most of the team to Gronk when he was, you know, in situations where they needed to stop him. The Cowboys can't do that because they don't have the cornerback play that will allow them or open them up to being able to mess around with double and triple teaming Ertz. Because if you do that, you're going to leave Alshon Jeffrey open, and Alshon Jeffrey can beat you. And if or possibly Nelson Aguilar. And Aguilar has been scoring touchdowns this year. So the Eagles are too balanced for that. And if you do that, they'll throw it to Clement, not Ajayi. Clement, and he'll burn you for a touchdown. So it's a very interesting team. they're very difficult to game plan for because they have weapons all over the place, and the quarterback is really good. Hell yeah, I would load up on the Eagles like a maniac this week if they're part of the main slate. Probably one of my, you know, Wentz could be the best quarterback play on the board. Mm-hmm. He's projected just as high as Brady. He's younger. He's not in Mexico. No fear of the Montes with him. Now, the Eagles defense is good, though, and I'm not so sure this is a wonderful spot for the Cowboys or their offense. I haven't heard anything about Dez Bryant or his ankles or anything like that, but he was clearly hobbled last week. I will say Dez, his salary is significantly lower this week than it's been in a while, and I like that. It's not like the Eagles have a corner that is a shutdown corner, a name that you would recognize. So I don't think they can necessarily shut down a healthy Dez at home. Kind of like Dez here. I think he's sneaky. At running back, it's interesting that we chose to put Rod Smith on the research station this week and not Alfred Morris, because I think that's somewhat appropriate considering this matchup, where Alfred Morris is clearly the top guy, or at least he was last week for Dallas. Like, he got 70%+ of the snaps. He was the guy. But, I mean, this is not a good matchup for him. The Eagles are very, very good against the running back position. And, you know, I'm seeing some ideas that maybe Rod Smith, who's more of the passing down running back, the Lance Dunbar role for the Cowboys, where he might be a little bit of a safer risk at 3,400 to bring value just from the passing game work, which I kind of agree with, especially on DraftKings. You know, the FanDuel side, I like guys who score touchdowns on FanDuel, and I'm not sure Rod Smith is going to get you in the end zone.
Right.
A Giant might get in the end zone, but I'm not paying the salaries that are put together for Ajayi, where they're still pricing him as sort of an every down back. Clement and Wendell Smallwood, last week they had a lot of people involved, and LeGarrette Blount is there still. There's a lot of guys.
Well, the reason I mention it is they made, you know, the coaches blurbed a little bit, and I know how you pay attention to what coaches say, and they said that they plan on using him a lot more. He's picked up the offense. They plan on kind of taking the shackles off. So I didn't know if that translated into a full-on 20 touches or what, which is why I wanted to ask you if you'd heard anything or seen anything. Because, again, grease the squeaky wheel, or – now, it may not be the squeaky wheel because he ain't bitching, but it is one of those telling situations maybe where they've said, he's coming. But I don't believe coaches like some of you guys do. When they say that, I'm like, they're just trying to get the team to game plan for that so they can do this instead.
Yeah, I don't know if – I think coaches just lie. Because they don't want to offend players.
They don't want to show their cards.
Yeah, they don't want to offend anyone. So hell no. I don't believe the coaches. I want to see it. I want to see it with my eyes before I believe it. And I have not seen to where Ajayi is getting any more carries or touches than the other three or four guys that they use at the running back position. Last week he got really lucky with one big run. I'm not buying that at all, although the matchup is spectacular. I'm just not paying that kind of salary for the type of player that Ajayi is right now.
On the main slate, on the bigger slates.
Well, let me see if I can...
I mean, he's not going to be the chalk play on a primetime slate, but I would imagine that if you're making, you know, however many lineups you usually make, you'll have a couple shares of him.
I will have no shares of him.
Ooh, there we go. Okay, full fade.
No, that's not correct. On the primetime lineup, yeah, you have to take some shares of everybody. That's just – if you're going to attack GPPs, you've got to have a piece of everyone. But he would be – let's see what the next game is. I don't even know. I haven't gotten
to it. Next game, Monday night's the Atlanta Falcons going out west to Seattle. So Atlanta at Seattle, 45-point total, 3-point favorite for the Seattle Seahawks. Not a game I'm excited about, but the one name that I did want to bring up for you because he hit high on a lot of radars. Once Devontae Freeman was announced as a concussion candidate that wasn't going to play this week, all of a sudden, Tevin Coleman, boom.
Get I don't know if he's going to get all game, the work. Man. Why are you not high on this? You should be high.
I'm not high on – I just – I'm just not. But I don't like Matt Ryan. I don't like that Atlanta offense. It's not because of the Seattle defense. I just don't think that they're doing shit this year. And I think that's straight on the OC's shoulders. As far as Seattle's concerned, yeah. I mean, Russell Wilson, Doug Baldwin, those types of guys, those are great. But do I like them more than, you know, Tom Brady or, some of the Kansas City Chiefs or shit?
Yeah, no, I'm talking about
the big slate. On the primetime slate, that's why we talk them kind of differently because, yeah, you've only got four teams to pick from. This Seattle offense is where you're going to go. I'm just curious really about how we're going to treat Tevin Coleman. He's my main question mark in this spot. Is he the one – is he going to get all that workload or is there another dude in that offense that's going to come up and they're going to keep their committee intact?
No, there is another dude. Terran Ward or something like that. So there is another guy in that offense. So let's be clear. He's not the only guy. But Tevin Coleman will get the majority of the touches. Seattle has not been a team that's, straight up shutting down the opposition. They just haven't done that. So there's definitely opportunity here for Tevin Coleman to have a nice game. They're not shut down. The Seahawks also just lost Richard Sherman for the season. Kind of a heart and soul of the team type player. So it's important to be aware of that as well. And so some of those numbers are going to get a little bit worse. You can pass on Seattle without Richard Sherman there and should be able to run a little bit on them. I mean, and I agree with you that Atlanta hasn't blown my mind this year by any stretch of the imagination, but that doesn't mean, they did last week. They look good against
They look good. Atlanta hasn't even gotten me semi-soft this year.
Well, there you go. So, I mean, but they looked good last week. They scored a lot of points. They didn't need to do a whole lot. But this starts with Seattle, this game. I mean, all right, there's a few interesting situations here. Procise is done for the season. Now, you got Rawls, who is just not good, and J.D. McKissic. Maybe that guy in the primetime. I mean, I'll have some shares of McKissic in the primetime slate, no doubt. And then, obviously, Wilson, Baldwin, Graham, Lockett, Richardson, they're all in play. Every single one of these guys. I like, obviously, Baldwin the most, and Jimmy Graham second most, and then probably Richardson and Lockett in that order. But they're all in play. And for the Falcons, it's the usual suspects. We got Sanu, we got Julio, we got Tevin Coleman. And like I said, there is a secondary running back, Terran Ward or something like that. Not a guy I'm going to be excited about, but don't expect Coleman to get 30 touches either here. He will split a little bit with another guy. Nothing to hate all that much, but always with Seattle at home, you're going to lean towards the Seattle playmakers first. And again, the fact that Richard Sherman is out really opens things up. Mostly, the one who benefits the most is Julio Jones. Now, Julio Jones, at some point, I know we've said this, it's week 11. We've said it every single week of the season. Yeah, eventually he's going to have a big game. It's going to happen. At some point. Maybe.
Yeah, but we're down to where he can only have 6 big games if he turns it on the rest of the year.
There's just a few left. So, it's going to happen. Maybe. Maybe this is the week. I don't know. But eventually he's going to have that big game.
He's going to have it in week 18.
It's going to happen at some point. Some point he'll have one. So he's looking good. I like him in this spot. Mohamed Sanu has been very consistent. And, scoring is going to come from somewhere. Now, Seattle could just shut them down too. But, that can happen anytime. In a 2-game slate, you got to play it.
Julio had his big week on the bye. He's out in the backyard, and he says, "See, this is what happens when I come to play. You throw the ball to me. My OC don't do that."
They've been throwing to him. He gets hurt a lot. Julio is kind of, he reminds me of late in the career Calvin Johnson, where he kept going back to him, but
amen.
He was just hurt all the time, and the foot and the leg, and eventually it's like, dude, I can't play Calvin Johnson. And then you finally give up on him, and he has the big game, and you're like, shit, I'm playing him every fucking week.
And then you go back to him. That is exactly how that was.
Yeah, and then you go back to him, and it's more duds, and
Decoys,
remember the Calvin Johnson Thanksgiving game where he finally came through. I love Thanksgiving slates, by the way. Next week, I just want to tell everyone. All right, so as we finished up the slate for this week, I'm going to give a little bit of how we're going to work it next week. We're going to do separate podcasts. Thanksgiving one will be its own thing, just for those three games, because it's a slate in entirety. And I think I'm going to do that one. I think I'm going to do that one VIP only, just for the DFS Army people. I'll just break down those three games. And then we'll do
probably smart. It's probably very smart because it's just three games, and therefore your focus energy needs to be very specific. And I like it.
Those games need to compare against one another. You can't really look
like
at that slate in the context of a full slate. So that's going to be just a three game thing, and then we'll do something different for the main slate, the rest of the games for that week. And I'm not sure if there'll be a traditional Vegas lines public podcast like this one next week. It's just the timing is going to be a little bit weird for that. Might go DFS Army exclusive for both of those. So let's see how next week checks out. Well,
now I'm hurt.
I know.
Because what I just heard here was Chop, take the train.
Well, Chop, what are we like? When would we be doing this one? Like, you know,
dude, I am so totally messing with you. I got family coming in from out of town. I'm not gonna. If you want to do a pod, I'll do one. If you don't, I will be more than happy to let you take it on your own.
I'm just, you know, I don't even want to get my head. I don't even want to get my head into the main slate until after Thursday. You know, like I don't think about what's happening on Sunday when there's a full three-game slate on Thursday.
I hate to tell you, by then you're gonna catch me on edge. The wives are gonna be out doing all their Black Friday shopping and stuff. Me and my brother are gonna be sitting here holed up in the house with a whole bunch of kids running around doing some day drinking, which is really smart when you got a bunch of little kids running around.
Yeah,
but that's what we do.
You gotta do that.
That's how we roll. Yeah. We make sure that we don't go anywhere. We just lock down the house and it's a free for all. It's good times, but it would not be quiet for a podcast. That is for damn sure.
No, and while I will be around on Friday, I'm sure I'll be working on just getting started on my Geeks Pick sheet because, again, I probably will not have even looked at that slate until after the full of Thanksgiving is done. So luckily, I have the whole day on Friday to dive into the main slate. So that's how I kind of expect it to go down next week. So holiday schedule coming up. This is a big week, everybody. What's the game you're most excited for this weekend?
This weekend? Meaning this one coming up?
Yeah, coming up. So we'll finish it off with a new segment. What are you most excited about? Or what situation are you most excited about?
Probably the Mexico City game, to be honest with you. But I'm the chalk eater. Where am I going? High total.
Yeah, that's an interesting game. Not the donkey
that's
show.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah. It's not super smart. It's not low owned and contrarian. I'm just going full on chalk, man. Stick me in that game.
I feel like I'm fascinated by this Chargers Bills game and all these random quarterbacks they're going to be playing. And you know, it's going to be like a game full. It's going to be like a college football, no, like a CFL game with Doug Peterman and you know Kellen Clemens back from the dead. I'm fascinated by that game. What's going to happen in that one? Just from a curiosity standpoint of how that's going to go down.
Well, I'll tell you what, as a fan, I mean, not as a DFS guy, but it makes us a fan, but I look at it differently in DFS. If I'm looking at it just old school, just watch the games, I'll be most interested in the Dallas-Philadelphia game because I'm really falling in love with both Dak and Carson Wentz. I just want to see those two go toe-to-toe. And I'll also be interested in the Kansas City side of the New York game because I just want to see if Andy Reid gets his freaking head back on straight and starts feeding the rock to Kareem Hunt.
There you go. I like that. Awesome. All right, that'll wrap it up for this week. Let's say good luck, everyone. Let's kick some ass. I will be back on Friday night for the Vegas Lines podcast and, of course, the Geeks Pick sheet for all of the DFSArmy.com VIP members. And for anybody who's not a DFS Army member, we are crushing pretty much all sports at this point. NBA has been ridiculously awesome. The football season continues to roll along super strong. Can't really beat a season where we have – oh, this week, which is exciting, we have three of our members going after the King of the Beach actual trip. Mm-hmm. So they're in the final. I will be working with those guys as much as they want me to, as far as helping construct some lineups. They need to score in the top 35% of a 180-person contest, I believe, in order to move on to the actual live final on the beaches of Key West or wherever the hell it is. So that's happening this weekend. We had a bunch of live final type things going on this weekend. So, yeah, I'm excited for that. And that I'm going to kind of double my efforts as far as trying to think about the safest type of lineup that can get you a top 30% cash this week. And that's what I'm going to be thinking about pretty much from now until Sunday. So, again, Vegas Lines on Friday, Geeks Picks on Friday, Sunday note, Sunday morning posted in Slack. And, you know, good luck, kick ass, everyone.
Attaboy.
All right, take care.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.